It's no exaggeration to say that Natalie's intuition saved her from a car accident that could have been fatal. This story and how your intuition can help you not miss a flight or even help you decline a job that looks good on paper but isn't really right for you are all stories that myself and my guest and student, Natalie Cuffell, explore on this week's Own Your Intuition show, as well as the idea that detours led by your intuition aren't detours at all, but necessary and useful. And that despite what you may have been told, I promise the wisdom is inside of you.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. I have been interviewing some of my previous students. Some of them have studied with me as long as 7 years ago. Today's guest is different. She is currently one of my Own Your Intuition students, just nearing the end of her class. But our time together goes back prior to that. And because of that, she has some spectacular stories about her intuition. In fact, one of my all-time favorite stories about how her intuition actually saved her life. And we will tell you that story in a bit. But first, welcome, Natalie.
Thank you, Aimée.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? Who are you, so our listeners know?
That's a big question. who am I? I am a mother of two teenage boys. I am an attorney. I recently changed from being an environmental and land use attorney to a family law attorney. I live in Sacramento, California. And when I'm not working, I do a lot with a women's group that I started 2 years ago, which is actually how we first became connected. Just generally exploring spirituality and trying to answer that question even broader. Who am I?
The ultimate question for some.
I know.
Okay, so thank you for that, letting us know who you are. I also like to have my guests tell me one thing that they love about themselves, because self-love is a foundation for so much. But I also like to start by telling everyone else one thing that I love about you. So one thing that I love about you, Natalie, is your devotion and your natural bent of service. You run a women's group, as you've already mentioned, outside of your career, and you're currently in the process, I know, of planning how you may continue further healing and wholeness for women. So Natalie is a woman of service. I love that. And she uses her brilliance and her inspiration to do that. I also love the investigative nature of your mind. You don't just skim the surface of something. You're like whole hog. You dig right in if something interests you. And I love that about you. And I've had many fun conversations with you as a result of that. So that's what I love. What do you love about yourself?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I was thinking about this. It's a question that I actually used to start my very first women's group. I had everyone go around and say what they loved about themselves. It's a favorite of mine. And I feel like my answer over the years has changed. It used to be, you know, more surface level attributes, things I just happen to be born with, blessings and gifts and privileges. And now, like you said, I'm more focused on what am I doing with all of those? So how I am trying to be of service, and I'm working really hard to address, any lingering shame that I have, any lingering fears that I have, so I can be the best version of myself. And I think that is what I love about myself currently, that I'm doing the hard work of actually confronting all of those things that we would rather avoid, because it's so much easier to do that.
Woohoo. Well, I know we have a lot to talk about, but I can just say I can very heartily assume that all of that is very useful, digging into that. Is that true for you?
It is. Yes. I highly recommend it. If anyone is like, no, I'm not going to confront fears or address lingering shame, just do it. It feels a lot better on the other side.
I love it. So good. Okay. So, as I said, you are nearing the end of your Own Your Intuition program with me. You started back in September of 2022. So can you give us a snapshot of where you were when you started my programs, maybe energetically or how you're feeling about yourself and your sensitivities and being in the world with all of that?
Yeah. So September of 2022, I was in an interesting place. In June of 2022, I went on sabbatical from my job. And then I swapped houses with a friend. So I'm currently living in her house and she's living in my house. And so suddenly I had all this free time. I was in this new place, and I was really giving myself the bandwidth and the runway to dig a little deeper, as you said, because I do like to go very deep. And I wanted, to be able to get in touch with my intuition and figure out what this next phase of my life was going to look like. I was also, in the process of separating from my husband of 17 years at that point. We'd been together since, off and on, since I was 18 years old. So a lot of it was getting back in touch with myself, and figuring out who I am and what I want to do. And that's what really drew me to the intuition program.
I love it. So basically a fresh start with a big question mark, if I might encapsulate it as such. I love it. Okay. So it's a great place to start, but even if you're not, you don't have to be at that spot to investigate it. Just say for
even
everyone.
Even if you're not going through a midlife crisis. It's
exactly.
Still worth it.
It works anytime, gentle or giant leaps in. So what has been the biggest take homes for you thus far? I know we're not quite at the end, but so far, when you think about it with your Own Your Intuition work with me?
Yeah, I would say the part that has really resonated with me is the benefit of dropping into my heart space and using that as a conduit to my higher power, to my best self, to my intuition. That's something that we learned in the class and I've continued to do a deep dive on ever since. And that's been really helpful for me, despite being a certified yoga teacher and having a fairly regular meditation practice for a long time. I do struggle to turn off my brain or not get swept away in my thoughts. And so it's been really helpful for me to You know, just kind of imagine unplugging my brain and plugging in my heart and seeing what comes through when that's my main method of communication and connection.
Beautiful, beautiful. Super great advice for any of you who are very brainy. And I don't, I mean, like, you know, some of us, I always include myself in this, have a very complicated brain. I can I can reason and look at the sides of every single thing and very thoroughly explore things with my mind. So I love your analogy of just unplugging the brain and plugging in the heart and seeing what happens here. How might that serve the brain? To me, it looks like the one serves the other, not the other way around. So thank you for that. So how has this knowledge impacted your life? And feel free to be like, give me some really concrete examples, because I always think those are useful.
Yeah. This knowledge has helped me in times when I, you know, couldn't think my way through situations. I recently got back from a trip to Thailand. I was there for 2 weeks, and it was not the trip I had planned for myself. I thought I was going to be staying with a friend who was living there, and it just so happened that he was gone for all but one day that I was in Thailand. And so I had 2 weeks that were unplanned, unfilled. And that's not how I would ever travel. Normally, I'm such a planner and, you know, wouldn't even, to be honest, like choose to travel by myself. But here I was in this situation. And it was such a great opportunity to tap into my intuition and really figure out what I wanted to do next. One of my favorite things that I did was just intuitive walking. So just leaving my hotel, and then every time I got to an intersection or corner, be like, okay, well, which way do I want to go now? And walk that way, see where I end up, discover all these interesting sites, and be a part of different neighborhoods. I think that was a good way of kind of practicing some of the things that we've learned in class, is really just being in that moment to moment. You have to use your intuition. Nothing's planned. What are you doing next situation?
Totally. Totally. And what a great practice. You don't have to be in Thailand to do this, just for everyone to know. But I'm often saying to my students, especially when we first start learning these things, like, practice small, go to the grocery store, tune into your highest self, see what she does in the grocery store, see how it's different, see what comes home with you that you might not have gotten if you weren't, if you hadn't done that. And then all of a sudden later that evening, you realize you needed that thing, but you didn't know you were making it for dinner, for example. Tuning, intuitive walking, as you just described it, is a great practice that anybody can do to, I don't even talk about this, you guys, this is Natalie's invention in terms of how she frames it, of intuitive walking. I talk about all the time about tuning in, and this is a one great way that you could do it too. Get out of your door. I do this all the time when I'm going home. I don't always like to go the same way. And I literally move about it intuitively. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with my husband where I'm like, can we go right here? Just like, this is the way that feels the best for at this moment right now. So I love it. I love it. And what great practice doing it. Because when you start to do this on small little levels like that, where in this case, you're just getting all this loveliness of exploring different neighborhoods and in a new place, when you start to do this, it gives you the fodder to understand this is a trustworthy sense. It is actually leading me to the perfect places. Did anything like that arise where you like landed, whatever the word I'm looking for, at the perfect place for you during that time?
So, you know, one day I just started walking and I thought it was going to be like this quick little walk around the block. I was staying in Chinatown in Bangkok, and ended up getting lost and found myself very far from my hotel. But I pulled open the map and I saw there was a temple nearby that I had not planned on visiting. But I was like, you know, it's so close, I might as well keep walking. And it ended up being this fantastic place where it was like this massive mound in the center of Bangkok, and you would walk all the way up to the top of the temple, and then you could look out over the entire city. And it was not on my radar at all, but it was like such a cool way to spend the afternoon. And I think in general, I mean, this is something that we've talked about before. It was also a matter of trusting that that's I was supposed to be there at that time, that it wasn't a mistake. You know, when I felt a lot of intuition when I booked my tickets for those 2 weeks. And then, of course, you know, was hoping to spend those 2 weeks with this friend who then wasn't there for the 2 weeks. But I, you know, could trust that that was what was meant to happen. I was meant to have this solo experience and really figure out what it's like to travel alone, how I like to travel alone, how I like to spend my days. You know, none of that was a mistake or an accident. You know, that's what was meant to unfold. And that was really reassuring as well. Yeah. And then I was also going to say another trick that our tip we've learned in class that was really helpful is calling on my guides for assistance. So the very first day I was in Thailand, I was feeling very lonely. I was like in the hotel room by myself. And I was like, tomorrow, you know, please send me friends. Like, I want social interaction. I want people. And it just so happened that the next day from start to finish, I was with people having amazing experiences all day, everywhere I went, everywhere I sat down. You know, I was striking up conversations with people. I actually got to meet up with one of our classmates, Betty, who happened to be in Bangkok at the exact same time. And we went to this amazing Michelin star dinner. She invited me to her romantic Valentine's Day dinner. I got to spend it with her and her partner. And it was so lovely. And, you know, it's, I think it's one of the tools that I struggle to remember to use the most is just asking for help. But when I think back on my trip, the times when I did ask for help, I received it in such a clear and beautiful way and had the most amazing days after I remembered, you know, to call in that divine assistance.
I love it. And it's such a good reminder because this isn't something that I don't know. Sometimes I start now to talk about it, but one of the things that happens when people start to tune into their own intuition, when they start to work with me, is they have this realization, you are not alone. You are not ever alone. In fact, you have so much support available to you, and it is available to you literally at any moment. You can ask for friends while you're on vacation. That seems like a hard ask, like, who are the friends? And all of a sudden they show up. Random strangers are then in our WhatsApp group for our class. It was revealed that both of these two happened to be in Thailand at the exact same time and they met for dinner, etc. So it's a, I love that example because you, help is available at any moment. And it is amazing when you start asking what you can actually get help with. Meaning everything, literally everything. So beautiful, beautiful. I love it. So let's see. You've given us some recent examples of how you have used that tool to that end. So I don't remember exactly how you found me. Do you remember?
I do, actually. Okay. And it's a, I think a good example of this as well, just things that appear random but aren't. So I've been interested in Vashon Island, where you live for a long time. My mom's best friend from college lives there, so we spend a lot of time there, and I've always wanted to move there, and I've been trying to get my family to create like a family compound there. And one of the things that I've been interested in doing is purchasing the old youth hostel, the AYH Ranch, and turning it into a retreat center. And so one time I was just looking to see if there were already retreat centers on Vashon Island. And what came up was a listing in the Beachcomber that was like, you know, existing spiritual and wellness services on Vashon Island, and you were the very first listing. And so I think I booked a reading with you that I then wasn't able to use. I handed it off to a friend for her birthday, but then booked.
I do remember that now. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, she had a great experience. And then I had just started my women's group at that time, and we were doing workshops. And so we had you come in and do a workshop on listening to your intuition in April, I believe, of 2021.
Okay. Thank you for that date. I was actually trying to figure out what year that was this morning, looking through all my notes, and I just didn't have it. So, which leads us, me, particularly us, all of us here together, to my all-time favorite story of intuition, because as it happened, I spoke to Natalie's women's group on a Thursday, and then something happened in the next couple of days, and I would love for you to share that story with our audience, please.
Absolutely. So yes, you came and did your workshop on Thursday. And then the following Tuesday, so just a couple of days later, I had an appointment to get my hair cut. And I was already running behind, and I was stressed out because the last time I was at my stylist, she was complaining about, you know, clients come late and they don't respect my time. And I'm just like, I'm neurotic about being on time anyway. That's part of who I am. And so I'm driving away from my house, and I've gotten a couple of blocks, and the car is, it just doesn't feel right. Like, it's making a noise. It's not a particularly, you know, big noise, loud noise, terrifying noise, but every once in a while I'm just hearing like a little like, you know, and I was like, I just had this intuition class, and my intuition is telling me, don't keep driving this car. Like, even though you're already running late, flip around, get the other car. So I do like a 20-point turn in the middle of the street to flip back around towards my house. I was, you know, about to get on the freeway, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Switch out, get our other car, get to my hair appointment, and it's like perfect timing. Her last client is just leaving. She doesn't even care that I'm late. Everything is fine. You know, appointment goes off without a hitch. And later, my husband inspected the car that I had been driving. And it turned out that in the middle of the night, someone had started removing one of the wheels on the car and then stopped. So it looked like it was a normal operating vehicle, but had I continued to drive it, especially if I had taken it on the freeway, which was the next step, likely the wheel would have just completely fallen off of the car while I was driving, which could have resulted in all sorts of consequences. It's hard to say with certainty, but yes, losing my life was among the possibilities when your wheel just blows off in the middle of a freeway going 65 miles per hour. But all of that was avoided because I just listened to my intuition that said, even though you're running late, even though it's inconvenient, even though it doesn't sound like that bad of a noise, listen to it, turn around, make the change. And so that's what I did.
I love this story so much, you all. And when, so it happened, it was July of 2021. I can't remember. Yeah, must've been, when you called because you were coming on the island and you were like, I am going to be in the area. I have to tell you the story. So you came over and you were finishing your breakfast and I was finishing my breakfast. I was like, is it cool? Can we just sit here and eat? We were sitting in front of my studio, in front of my pond on, so over our different varying breakfasts, you shared with me this story. And specifically, I remember you saying, because you said on Thursday that your intuition speaks to you in a calm and neutral voice, I listened, because that is what was happening for you. And I think this is, that's one piece that I love so much about this story. Natalie's intuition is literally giving her life-saving advice, but it is not saying it like, Natalie, stop, turn around, blah, 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 you've got to. It's like, this isn't a good idea. Turn around, get the other car.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm an anxious person, so I'm very familiar with catastrophizing and, like, you know, blowing things out of proportion. And that was not the situation at all. It was very, very calm, just like, yeah, no, this doesn't feel right. Turn around. And I think I told you this other story too, that happened soon after that. I was in LA visiting my sister, who, you know, she has also taken the intuition course. And we were at a Korean day spa hanging out before I was supposed to catch my flight home. And then all of a sudden, I was lying there and saw like this green flashing light. And I was like, oh, it's time to go. I need to go to the airport now. Mm-hmm. My sister's like, no, like you said, we didn't have to leave till later. I was like, no, I need to go now. You know, and it wasn't this frantic, oh, I'm going to miss my plane, I'm going to miss my plane. It was just the calm, like,
time to
go. Need to leave. It's time to go. Green means go. And so we went, and sure enough, my plane was boarding earlier than I thought it was. I walked in just as everyone was lining up in their little Southwest lines, and got on the plane without a hitch. And had we stayed later, I absolutely would have missed my flight. But it once again was not frantic. It was not anxious. It was not catastrophizing. It was just this very calm, like, get up. It's time to go.
Totally. Totally. It's also very practical. I feel like I say this ad nauseum, but it's like a thing that I, like a hill I stand on, because I don't, it's not the concept that we have of intuition in our society. It's been made into something like words like woo woo, which is like a weird thing that maybe is too much or only for freaky people, something like the connotation in which we have has been made about intuition is so far from the reality of it. It's practical. It's really useful. It's not only life-saving, but it also will help you when you're in danger of missing your flight, which is a giant inconvenience. That's one of the reasons why I love so much these particular stories, because they really exemplify it. It's useful. And also, again, it's calm and neutral. And that is how your intuition speaks to you. And if you are trying to figure out the difference between your intuitive voice and your fear-based thinking or your other thoughts, I have a free download. It's in the show notes. You can use it to decipher precisely how it is that your intuition speaks to you. So, like Natalie, when you're driving down the road and potentially late, which you don't like to be, and you get the information to do something out of the context that you would normally do, you listen, because it does matter. So thank you. I love those stories, obviously. Okay, so you also mentioned once about a story that happened to another woman in your women's group. Do you remember that one, where it was, again, right after I spoke? And it's just another, it's a great example.
Yeah, so my friend Michelle also was at your intuition workshop, and she recently got an opportunity to transfer jobs. And on paper, you know, it made sense. It looked like, you know, what the next step was in her career. And her intuition was very calmly telling her, like, no, this isn't the right move for you. This isn't what happens next. And she decided to turn down the job. And she really attributes that to the workshop and being able to trust that, like, maybe there's not even an obvious reason for it. You know, that there was nothing on paper that said why this job, you know, wasn't the one for her, but she just knew inside of herself that it wasn't. And she trusted that, and she listened to it, and she turned down the job offer. And I think that's a good example as well of, like, you know, women actually being able to listen to themselves and trust themselves.
Totally. And the end piece of the story is that she found out later why it wasn't a good thing.
Yes. And yeah, it turned out there, you know, there was an important project for her at her current job. And she's so glad she stayed doing what she was doing.
I love it. So good. So you don't always know why. And that is something that ends up being hard for people when they're trusting their intuition, and especially for those moments like with Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, if you listen to this, for allowing us to share your story. But where something looks really good on paper and for one reason or another, it's not the right thing to do. That is the brilliance of your intuition for those times when everything is lining up in a different way, or it's exactly what you thought you were supposed to do, or what, you know, looks like it's the right thing to do. Sometimes what reason yours or someone else would tell you is the right thing to do. Your intuition absolutely knows the difference in those moments, and it will tell you no, if that's the answer. No, that's not the right way. I've given lots of different stories on this over time in this podcast. And it's, you know, the essence of it is that is how I learned that my intuition was something that I would always heed, because it told me no and I ignored it. And it sucked. Let's just say, like, the moral of that story is it really, really sucked. But in the end, it's how I understood, oh, even if I don't know why, this is what I'm going to do. If my intuition is telling me this, this is what I'm going to do. And another little tiny note here is that, I mean, tiny, but not, sometimes it's really big for people, but I want to say not knowing is guidance. Okay. It means do nothing. It certainly doesn't mean, and in this case with Michelle's story, we're not necessarily talking about that, because she knew internally, I don't know why, but this doesn't feel right. But if you are in a moment where you don't know, where you're trying to choose and it's not really clear, or something doesn't feel right, where you're not really sure, that is guidance for you. It means pause. It means don't do anything, if at all possible, or if necessary, make the choice, but don't be surprised if more information comes down the pike a little bit later. But it most certainly doesn't mean forge ahead and do it anyway, because if it doesn't feel right, there is a reason, even if you can't see or know it at that moment. Okay, so thank you for those stories, Natalie. So did anything so far, has anything surprised you that you've learned from me?
I don't know if there's been anything that has surprised me. I think you talk about this often, how so many of the tools are simple and straightforward. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you know, if you're expecting like woo-woo magic and you got to light these five candles and these specific mm-hmm. colors or anything like that, like it's not what you're going to find. It is very common sense and practical for the most part. So maybe it's surprising in its lack of surprisingness.
Totally. Yeah. That's a perfect answer, because it's so true. You guys know I'm very upfront about the fact that it's very simple, but for some reason or another, our very complex human brains like to, especially when we're talking about the mystical or the mysterious, we think it's going to be this, like, I don't know, like, otherworldly or very complicated, or we have to know all of these precise things in order for it to work, which is so opposite from the truth. The truth is, no matter who you are, your intuition is working for you. It's already been working for you. It's been working for you your whole entire life. You may have a pattern of ignoring it or thinking that it's not right or this or this or that, but you're born with this. You're literally born with it. And it's very simple to tune into it. So simple.
Absolutely. To me, I mean, it's more like a remembering or reclaiming.
Totally.
Because I think you're right, it's something that we're born with, and I think it's something that we have access to. And then it's kind of crushed out of us in some ways. I mean, this is something that you know, like I am very obsessed with and have done a lot of research on like why that is and when did it start. And, you know, I do think that there has been an effort, especially with women, to convince them not to listen to themselves, not to listen to their bodies, to disbelieve themselves. There's a fantastic movie that's out right now that I will plug called Women Talking. Sarah Polley directed it, and it sounds very depressing. It's about a small Mennonite community where the women were getting sexually assaulted at night. There were some men in the community who were using horse tranquilizer to knock out the women. And so I was very hesitant to watch it, given the subject matter, but really it's about women coming together and talking to each other and finding their power. And one of the scenes, one of the characters says that the worst thing they did to us was teach us to disbelieve ourselves. Because when the women came forward, the men in the community said, oh no, you're making it up. It's hallucinations. It's ghosts, it's all these other things, when they knew that wasn't the case. And I think there's so many instances where women are, you know, told that whatever they're feeling is inaccurate, or that they can't trust themselves, or that they need better reasons, you know, to say no to a job offer, or say no to a romantic prospect, or whatever it is. And I think, you know, so much of what you do is about helping to women remember that that's not the case, and reclaiming that power that they were, you know, inherently born with.
Totally. If you've been listening to the show, you've also heard me talk about Dr. Lisa Miller and this amazing podcast that I listened to quite a while ago now on the Good Life Project podcast. And she also picks up this loop, not in the same way that you are coming from it, Natalie, of having researched a lot of like, why have we been told that we shouldn't listen to our own insights and knowing? But she comes at it scientifically from studies, and also points out that we are literally trained in our K-12 education that you need proof and you need reasons in order for anything to be valid. Which just frankly isn't true, because the other piece that I love so much about, I love it because she comes at this from a scientific perspective, and she's saying things that way that I've known for a very long time. And one of the things that she points out is that, and that I point out literally all the time, is that you have access to innate wisdom that is beyond your five senses. And sometimes it is going to tell you things that you have no reason to know, or there's no logical explanation for the fact that you know this thing, whatever it is. And that's inherent in all of us. And so I always say to my students of like, if you know that, if you feel that, that is reason enough. You literally do not need any other reason in order to know or feel. If you are having that experience, that is all you need to know. This is my experience, and then I'm going to operate this way. So beautiful. Thank you. I love it. Okay, I'm going to check the time here. So let's see. We talked about things that were surprising, and I'm curious from your perspective of hearing how do you think that listening to your intuition serves your life? And also, how do you think it serves the world?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, we mentioned just the day-to-day, you don't get in car accidents, you don't miss your flight, you know, you can get through life with a lot of ease and grace. And I think there's definitely something to be said for that. But as you know, I'm always interested in like the bigger picture stuff, which is, you know, how does this help get me to my life's purpose? Like what I was put here on this planet to do. How does it help me be of service? And that's the part that really excites me, is using my intuition to figure out what is the right next action that I need to take in order to fulfill my life's purpose. I'm coming to terms with the fact that you only get a little bit of information at the time. I want it to like unfold in this beautiful 5-year plan, like a 30-page document that tells me everything I need to know. But that doesn't seem to be the case. It's, you know, it's a need to know basis, and you get a little bit of information at the time. And sometimes you have to kind of take these detours that are an important part of the journey. It's not a straight line. You know, I think if more people were in touch with their intuition, were connected to source, their highest and best self, the world would be a better place, because people would be achieving their life's purpose. In terms of, you know, why are we cut off from our intuition? I think, you know, there's been a concerted effort for hundreds of years to have us be factory workers and things that probably were not people's life's purposes, and to not listen to our intuition when they said to, you know, run off into the hills and write poetry instead, right? Like, no, don't listen to that. Just show up tomorrow at 8 o'clock and eat only at this time, and ignore bathroom breaks, and don't listen to your body, and don't listen to your intuition. Just listen to your employer and make your employer money. I think part of this too is getting people to break out of that mold and really figure out what it is that they're feeling called to do in order to be of service and achieve their life's purpose.
Totally. If they are called to do that. And you are definitely called to serve, as am I. But I always like to point this out, because sometimes people have lofty ideas of what that should look like. And the point that I want to make is, it's so particular to each person's soul. And if you are called, like I often think of my husband in this example, I think one of the reasons that he exists, or one of his geniuses is probably how I would put it, is being a good friend. And literally, like, we live on this road. I mean, like, even if that, I don't know, I was going to paint a picture of like, it's, anyway, I'm going to skip that analogy, but just saying, even if you are just called to be a good friend to other people, mm-hmm. or to serve your own happiness, what it ends up being is this rippling effect of serving other people and, or making the world a better place. And so, that is really important for some of us, to make the world a better place. We are attuned to that, but not everybody is actually attuned to that. And that is perfectly fine too. If you find yourself of like, look, I just don't want to be scared, I just want to feel solid and satisfied in my choices, then I want that for you too. And so does the world. So does the universe. So, the other thing that I just want to call out in terms of what you just mentioned is, this is comes up a lot in the conversations I am having on the air with my students, is the idea of the next right action, because that is how your intuition works. Like, wholeheartedly, that is how it works. Sometimes you get other glimpses, and that depends on who you are and if it's relevant. But I can tell you, as a person who does get glimpses of where you're going, or where I'm going, I should say, it used to be very uncomfortable to me, because I would get that. I'd be like, oh, I see. And then, like, for example, a partner, these kinds of things, like I could always see, oh, I'm going there. But then I'm like, where is he? Like, hello, where is he? And that's really uncomfortable, because or it was for me anyway. That's just one example. I could give you many of seeing where I was going. But then when that happens, you want to be there. You're like ready now, and you have to wait. The reality is it takes time to do all of these things. So most frequently, universally, your intuition is speaking to you with the next best thing, the next step. And the other piece that I love about what you just shared is just pointing out the so-called detours, because they aren't detours. They seem like detours. They're maybe detours on paper. Oh, I went there, dead end. But it's actually not a detour at all. It's giving you really important information. It's giving you experience that you needed in order to get to the next thing. And I could probably even use my relationship with my husband as a good example of that, of like, I was 35 when we got together. I'm just like pulling that from memory. But so I needed all of those years, like whatever, 16 to 35 of different relationships to learn all of these particular things about myself, about how to be in relationship, all of these things. None of those were detours. They were actually like perfectly right for me at that time. And every single time I learned something that was impactful and pivotal and that I absolutely needed to know in order to have a viable partnership later in my life. So if any of you are listening and you find yourself at that moment of feeling like there's a detour ahead, I honestly feel like that is another form of brainwashing that we have been given by our society, that is a straightforward road to success and you've got to do this and this and that in order to make it happen, when the reality is it literally doesn't look like that. And furthermore, that experience is very unsatisfying. So if you're getting intuitive information that there is a detour or there is a road that you need to go on, explore that road, because I feel like I can guarantee that it is going to bring you something vital to you, an experience or knowing, or could be any number of things that are vital. So thank you, Natalie, so much for your stories and for being here on the air with me and sharing your wisdom.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say that I didn't ask you about, or anything that you feel like you want to add?
I mean, I would love to use this as an opportunity to tell people to watch the Women's Spirituality Trilogy. I'm always trying to get Aimee to watch it too.
It's on my list, you guys.
It was created by Starhawk and will give you that deep dive in terms of why women might not listen to their intuition after hundreds of years of a concerted effort through the European witch trials and other efforts to get women to disbelieve themselves. And
what's the name?
Kind of come back. It's the Women's Spirituality Trilogy.
Okay.
And there are three documentaries within that. They're all available for free on YouTube. The first is Goddess Remembered, the second is The Burning Times, and the third is called Full Circle. There's also a book on this topic I just finished that I would also highly recommend, called Witch and the Caliban by Sylvia Federici, that kind of documents the same content, but in a very academic way. So if you're someone that wants a lot of footnotes and historical references, Sylvia Federici's book is a great place to start.
Perfect. So we've come full circle to the thing I love about Natalie and her deep dives into things. So brilliant end to our conversation. And I guess the thing that I want to say last is, because Natalie has a women's group outside of this, and I think this is just something that she started on her own. And I think this is an opportunity for my listeners to hear a little bit about, like, why did you start that? And can you give us like a tiny bit of framework? I mean, we're kind of at the end of our time. So, but I'm interested in our listeners being inspired by your journey and also understanding that maybe it's not that complicated to create a women's group and support one another in that way. So are there any words of wisdom that you would give to those listening from your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're thinking about starting a women's group, do it. It's been the most impactful thing in my life. And, as Aimee said, it's not that hard. I kicked it off Galentine's Day 2021, I just sent out an email to all of my favorite women in my life that I had met, you know, at different jobs, friends I've had since elementary school, family members, and said, you know, come celebrate with me. I had my favorite meditation teacher do a guided meditation on self-love. We went around and talked about what we loved about ourselves, and listened to a podcast that Glennon Doyle had did with Sonia Renee Taylor about her book Radical Self-Love. And that just kind of kicked it off from there. And then after that, we would take turns hosting and talk about different topics. And really, I mean, the power in women coming together is having a safe space to be vulnerable and share and connect. And that alone is so healing. I don't know if it matters your exact structure of your group, how often you meet. I mean, I think the power is in the vulnerability and the sharing and the connection. So whether it's online or in person, however you do it, just do it. It'll change your life.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement and that wonderful modeling. You can do it. Anyone that wants to. And I hadn't really thought of this until I heard you saying that, but I am currently in the middle of restructuring my programs. And one of the things that is going to be available is a gathering for people that are in person. They can gather with me, I believe, right now. I mean, at this moment in time, I always say things are subject to change, but because I'm still in the planning. But what it looks like is it's going to be on the new moon. And it will also not just be for people in person, but it will also be for any people who are, it'll be broadcast. You can join us via Zoom as well. So, and it's essentially, I feel like one of the deficits that we have in this world is not giving time and space for us to tune in and on this hamster wheel of importing and always getting more information and doing this thing when there is so much wisdom literally within you. So stay tuned for that. And some dedicated new moon time for you to explore your own insights. As Natalie and I have both been saying, they already exist within you. So thank you so much for being here with me today, Natalie. It's been such a delight too. I can see you. They can't, but thank you for being here. And I just realized that your shirt is one of my favorite things. It's the moon in all of phases, and it says just a phase. And it's like literally a line in my head all the time as I am aligning my life more and more with the moon. So it's been a delight. Thank you all, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. If you loved this conversation and these stories about what a lifesaver your intuition can be, I invite you, I encourage you to share the Own Your Intuition show with your friends and star it wherever you get your podcasts. As I mentioned briefly, coming soon, you can join me monthly and or for all the tools in my Own Your Intuition program. Get on my mailing list or download some freebies, including how to know if it is your intuition speaking. In that download, you'll get the very same information that helped save Natalie's life. Go to amaecartier.com or find those links and the ones Natalie mentioned in the show notes. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.